You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Dave Hodges Show. This is Sunday night, the 25th of January, and we'll be having our first guest in just a few minutes. I think he's already on the line.
Okay, I'm back. Can you guys hear me? Yeah, that's just,
I can hear you, Dave.
Amateur radio at its best, yeah. We just had a complete net shutdown here, and we are now back. At least I'm back. And Annie, I could hear you, but I could not broadcast. It was kind of like a one-way. Anyway, I'll figure that out later. I am here, and that's the first time it's happened here. Let's hope the spooks are not following us, because we've had some interesting experiences in the past. Anyway, as I was starting to say before I got cut off, that welcome to the show. Dave and Annie here, and we've got a terrific show for you this evening. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by John Onesti, and he's got a new theory with regard to the JFK assassination that he builds upon some existing facts. So we're going to have a fascinating discussion. And in the third hour, Annie is going to be bringing us the latest in the news that you don't hear in the mainstream media, particularly on Fox and CNN, or the Communist News Network, as I affectionately like to call them. And in this hour, it's going to be a really interesting hour. We're going to venture into an area that we don't get into very much, and it's kind of funny that we don't. With me being an ex-college basketball player and ex-college basketball coach. But we're going to be talking about integrity, honor, and cheating in the world of sports. And the cheating, according to our first guest, Brian Toohey, is rampant. And I mean rampant. And I have to say, having reviewed some of his material, and I've read his previous book, The Fix Is In, I have to say that he makes a pretty strong case. So joining us, I believe, from Chicago is Brian Toohey. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
Hey, I'm great. Sorry about the bad technical kickoff here. But anyway, no worse for the wear. We are here. And with my background in sports, I recall what my freshman college basketball coach said to me. He said, this is one of the few areas in life where you can trust that the results are honest. It's not like politics. It's not like the cheating of corporations. But that's not what you're finding, is it?
No, not at all. And I think the way you really have to look at sports, even college sports these days, at least NCAA Division I college sports and basketball and football, as well as the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NHL, and even NASCAR, is that these are multi-billion dollar businesses. And many people get rich from them. And it's something that I don't believe you just leave up to chance, because no other business in the world really leaves itself up to chance, but yet that's what we're supposed to believe happens with sports, that just random outcomes, pure coincidence, just happens to keep these sports propelling forward, keeps them getting high television ratings, get them, you know, the advertising money they require. And I don't believe that. I believe that more things are manipulated than most people would like to believe.
Well, Brian, I played mid-major Division I in a lot longer ago than I'd like to admit, but it was in the late 70s. And, you know, I have to tell you, when I stepped on the court, you might worry about a bad ref or a guy I'd like to hold on to your shorts or step on your shoes. But, you know, I wasn't aware of anything that was going on. And certainly at a small college coach for 10 years, I didn't see any of that either. So where is this happening?
Like I say, I think what it is that the bigger the money get, the more at risk and there's at stake. So I think that's where the influence can come in. And I think what people need to understand is, and I've proven this before, is that there's no law that prevents, like, the NFL from fixing its own game. There's no law that states they could not do that if they so choose. So it's perfectly legal for them to manipulate their own sport because it's really not a sport. What it is they're an arm of the entertainment industry. They're show business. They've argued this in front of the Supreme Court. Your ticket, when you buy one, just gives you the license from them to see a game. It doesn't mean it has to be played under any certain rules. It doesn't mean certain players have to perform. It doesn't mean a team cannot cheat or not cheat. It just means you pay to see a game. They provide you with that game, and that's the end of the line. So if this is just entertainment, if this is just show business, and we look at reality TV and all the, you know, half-truths that reality TV foster upon us, why wouldn't we think, again, that this multi-billion dollar industry known as the NFL or known as the NBA or what have you wouldn't do the same thing to keep its ratings up and its interest level high? And those are the questions I ask.
Well, I recall, and the name of the official escapes me, and I'm sure you'll know it, the NBA ref that faced prison for...
Yeah, Tim Donaghy.
Yeah, Donaghy, exactly. Now, didn't he go to jail for a while?
Well, what happened to him is he was involved in a massive gambling scheme. And many people believe Donaghy fixed games, but he was never arrested for nor convicted of fixing a game because neither the FBI nor the NBA really wanted to prove that and didn't need to prove that to get, you know, the criminal conspiracy taken care of. What happened was is Donaghy was working with one of the biggest bookies in the world, and together, supposedly Donaghy was just providing him with inside information on the sport, and this guy was making millions of dollars of bets on Donaghy's information and winning hand over fist. And Donaghy afterwards, after he went to jail, after the bookmaker went to jail, Donaghy claimed that, you know, this wasn't just going on with him, that the entire NBA manipulated games and did so through its referees, and that they didn't have to outright say, hey, fix it so this team wins. They would just send them, you know, updates on what calls to look for, what calls to not worry about, and little subtle things that could influence the outcome of a game. And Donaghy said this was going on all the time. And, of course, the NBA and all the referees lined up against him and said, hey, he's a convicted felon. He'll say anything to get out of jail. Don't believe this guy.
What kind of sentence did he get for his actions involving gambling?
It's a good question. I think he served like 2 or 3 years in prison.
Yeah,
it wasn't
that's
too long.
Too.
I mean, even if he was convicted of fixing the game, I think the maximum jail sentence is like 5 years. It's nothing huge. And that was the thing is that, you know, just because he was a convicted felon, it doesn't mean he wasn't telling the truth. I mean, because that's one of the arguments I make with the fact that, you know, it's legal to fix these games. If a league like the NBA tells its referees, hey, this is how I want you to do your job, it's merely an employer telling an employee what to do. And there's nothing illegal about that. They just want them to do certain things a certain way. It may benefit one team over another. It may, you know, make things more interesting than they should be, but that's the way they want it done. They're, you know, legally obligated to do whatever they feel like.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the NBA for a lot of different reasons. You know, I still watch a fair amount of college basketball when I get a chance, which isn't often. But one of the things that I will tell you, I totally agree with you, that the NBA has a lot of situations where it's rigged, because I know basketball inside and out. I know the strategies. I know how refs are supposed to work. And I have seen things at critical junctures in games, in key games, particularly playoff games, that have altered the course of a playoff series, thereby affecting ratings. And I've traced a lot of it to big market, small market, who's going to bring the bigger TV viewing audience into the play, into the next round, if someone wins and they get some help from the refs. I have seen that a lot. But what about the Division I level? Well, let me set this up. We're going to go to break, and I'm going to pose this question when we come back. What about the Division I level in basketball? March Madness. I want to hear about that on the other side.
The JFK
JFK assassination, the greatest whodunit mystery of the 20th century. Americans know they've been lied to. The Warren Report and many conspiracy theories do not accurately explain what actually occurred. In-depth research findings, featured in John Onesti's new book, Assassination Point Blank, paints a surprisingly new and highly controversial portrayal of what may have actually happened. In Assassination Point Blank, you'll learn how the Secret Service stood down and how the JFK assassination was, in fact, an inside job. You'll discover why William Greer slowed the car, why Governor Connally snuck into the back seat, why the governor's suit was cleaned, why only Clint Hill took action, and the real reason why Jackie climbed on the trunk, and more. Go beyond Lee Harvey Oswald and faceless shooters. Find out what really happened that day. Get your copy of Assassination Point Blank and gain a new perspective of the most heart-wrenching event of the 20th century. Find Assassination Point Blank on Amazon.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your house is dark, vacant. You must be gone on vacation for a while. Thanks for all the jewelry.
Don't be the next victim of a break-in. Go to FakeTV.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone is inside watching TV and makes your home unappealing to would-be thieves.
Don't these people ever leave?
Starting at $24.95 and there's free shipping. Go to FakeTV.com or ask for it at your local hardware store. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We are back. Thanks for staying with us to the break. Dave and Andy here. You're listening to the Common Sense Show, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 9 p.m. to midnight. Our special guest is Brian Toohey, and he's talking to us about how sporting events are fixed. And Brian, I posed as we went into the break, what about March Madness?
Well, you know, I don't do as much research into the college game as I do the professional game. But I don't think, at least in terms of the March Madness tournament, that there's as much manipulation as there may be like in Division I college football. Because there's, you know, fewer games, but there's actually almost more at stake in terms of, you know, certain, what do you call them, divisions getting the, I can't think of the right word, it's not division, what do you call it? Conferences, getting certain teams into now this new NCAA football playoff. And there's, you know, a lot of times you've seen strange results within the conferences that propel one team over and above others, and that means more money for that conference. I don't think you see as much of that in the Division I basketball, but at the same time, I think college basketball is actually very, a very ripe fruit for criminals, organized crime members, gamblers to fix in terms for gambling purposes. Because, you know, there's so many teams. There's only a few players that will actually make it to the NBA because there are only two rounds of the NBA draft. And I think it's very easy to approach these kids and say, look at all the money that's being made around you. Look at the television networks that are covering these games, the amount of money that's being bet on these games, how much money your coach is getting paid. In some states, it's the highest paid state employee is the college basketball coach for some of these major colleges. And yet you, as the college basketball player, you basically get nothing, at least above the board. You get nothing. So if you make an approach to these kids, offer them a few $1,000 to shave a few points, and they know they're not the NBA bound, I think it's very easy. And it's been proven to a certain extent by even the NCAA's own studies and studies done by college professors that game fixing definitely still occurs at college basketball.
How do the college professors determine that?
Well, they've did some studies, statistical studies. And, you know, I'm not very good at statistics myself. It's been a long time since I had a real good math class. But what they would do is they noticed that basically the bigger, the greater the point spread is in a game, the betting point spread, the more likely the games actually fall outside that point spread in terms of the final score. And through these studies, they kind of determined that really, and I forget the exact number, but I mean, it's a high percentage. It was like, I would say 5 or 6% of these games they believed had interesting outcomes, basically, outcomes that didn't define what they should be statistically, and that led these professors to believe that those games were indeed fixed.
You know, if I were to point a finger and say, where does it occur the most in March Madness, it would be in that first weekend, because that's where you see the biggest upsets that draw the highest ratings. And if they keep the myth going that little Hofstra can beat Duke, then they really enhance their ratings. And I could see that would be a breeding ground. Now, what I'm wondering, too, is where does this come in at terms of, is it the players mostly at the NBA level, or is it the it's probably not the coaches, but the players, the referees, or is it the league office itself? Where is the spoiling point?
Well, I think, you know, one thing the organized crime and mafia elements of this country have taught us over the years is that everybody has a weakness, and that weakness can be exploited. You know, be it a player, be it even a coach or a referee, you know, these are people. These are people who can have problems, you know, and the problems could be money problems. They could actually be on the verge of bankruptcy despite making supposedly millions of dollars. We've seen plenty of athletes, professional athletes, who've gone bankrupt right after they get out of the league. I mean, they could just be flat-out greedy. They could have, you know, problems in their family. They could have, you know, women problems. They could have problems with men. They could be homosexuals. They could be have problems with gambling. They could have problems with drugs, performance-enhancing drugs. All these things open them up to potential blackmail and potential manipulation. And I think if, you know, like leagues that do drug testing and leagues that have these big security divisions that are supposedly monitoring what the players, coaches, and referees are doing, they can do the same thing that the gamblers and organized crime could do. They can find those weak spots and exploit them if they choose to do so. Because, you know, the leagues, these security divisions that they have are literally staffed with former members of the FBI, CIA, DEA, Secret Service, local law enforcement. I mean, these are guys who know how to find information out on people, and they do it very well. And I think that's why a lot of times you don't hear much, as much as you probably could, about some of the scandals that go on in these leagues, because they're able to keep these things quiet.
How rampant is it? Let's take the NFL. We're coming up on the Super Bowl in a week. How rampant is the fixing of these games?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, and, you know, 99% of what I think may be manipulated. But if you and I'm right for that 1%, that means you cannot trust that league. And I think, you know, any sports fan, especially in the NFL this past year or two, I mean, you've heard the NFL talk about, you know, concussions. You've heard about them with the drugs, you know, the painkillers, performance-enhancing drugs, the Ray Rice scandal, the Adrian Peterson scandal. Now you got this whole Deflategate. I mean, there's so many issues, really, the NFL has had in the past few years. You know, do any fans really trust this league and what they're telling them? And in my opinion, you can't trust them at all. That they're manipulating things, they're putting spin on things, and they're using their media partners. And remember, they are clearly partners with the likes of ESPN, Fox Sports, CBS, all these sporting networks. And they're putting the spin on these things, and you can't trust them. And if you can't trust them with all the stuff that surrounds the game, why do you trust their product, which is those games? I mean, that's okay. My big question is, if you can't trust them with everything else, how do you trust the games? In my opinion, you can't trust the games. So even if they only do it once in a blue moon, the fact that they possibly have done it is enough for all their integrity to go completely out the window.
Do you think a lot of this goes on the betting line, or is it determining really who wins and loses? Which do you think is more prevalent?
Well, you know, it's funny. I get a lot of emails from people that swear, like, the NFL and even the NBA are in league with, like, Las Vegas and the bookmakers, and that they influence certain outcomes specifically to make sure, you know, the majority of the bettors lose. And myself, I honestly haven't found any specific proof to those ends. And I've talked to guys who used to be bookmakers, guys who are gamblers, and I haven't been able to make any connections because, for the most part, what my research has shown is that the leagues actually have zero connection with Las Vegas and the book sports books out there. But at the same time, I mean, I think there's a lot of money for the NFL to win and lose based on certain outcomes on teams winning and losing. And I think that's where their main influence and their main interest would be, is the outcome of their own games, just who may win and who lose. And even on certain occasions, like the Super Bowl, just to get fans to watch into the fourth quarter and watch until the end of the game, because that makes the ratings high, it makes the television partners happy, and it makes all their advertising partners happy. So I think for the NFL and the NBA, those are more important necessarily than the betting that goes on in Las Vegas and in the illegal community out there.
How do you think that the NFL would manipulate things to get someone to watch into the fourth quarter?
You know,
let me have you hold that thought, because
sure.
That's going to be probably a longer answer. And we come back, I'm going to ask you that question again. And also we come back, I'm going to refer back to Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints, immediately following Hurricane Katrina. I always thought that was bizarre. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back here in just a minute with Brian Toohey. Andy DeRiso will be up in the third hour with news, and John Onesti in the second hour. Stay tuned.
People have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural Life Change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking Life Change tea. So, are you drinking Life Change tea? Interested? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes the body just needs a little help. Get the tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get Life Change Tea at getthetea.com.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Are you prepared for the future? Do you know how to navigate past the upcoming dangers before it's too late and to seize budding opportunities before others do? Forecasting worldwide since 1980, Gerald Celeni, publisher of the Trends Journal, provides timely and accurate trend forecasts that have earned him the reputation as the most trusted name in trends. The proof is in the hundreds of accurate forecasts Celeni has made over the past 30 years. The 1987 stock market crash, the clean food trend, the dot-com bust. The Trends Journal alerts subscribers to early subtle signs of crucial trends that will shape our future. It allows readers to anticipate change, recognize the implications, and take proactive strategies. Put your money where your mind is with Gerald Celeni's brilliant and indispensable Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com or call 845-331-3500. That's 845-331-3500.
When you think of getting old, what comes to your mind? Spending the last years of your life in a nursing home? Staring out a window? Medicated to keep you docile? Not able to recognize your own kids? Suffering with some dreaded disease until you die all alone? Well, think again. One of the premier doctors in the world, Dr. James Forsythe, wrote the book Anti-Aging Cures, Life-Changing Secrets to Reverse the Effects of Aging, Your Key to the Real Fountain of Youth. And Suzanne Summers, the perpetual face of eternal youth, wrote the foreword. As mentioned in the book, Royal Velvet is the most cost-effective, easiest, and complete way to reverse the effects of aging. It's true. So, do you want glowing skin, less wrinkles, thicker hair, less gray hair, your hormones balanced, improved memory, a toned physique, greater energy, less pain and stiffness, as well as benefits too numerous to name? Go to RoyalVelvetNow.com. Click on the rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner, and within a couple of days, you can be on the path to youthful living. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
The lining of your lungs is supposed to be protected with glutathione to neutralize incoming irritants. In the absence of enough glutathione, your lungs are more prone to irritation. Listen to the real-world results of one man using a powerful glutathione-supporting food.
Hi, my name is Bill O'Brien. I generally suffer through an asthmatic breathing-type situation. My breathing is shallow and generally constricted in the nose and lungs. After consuming One World Away today, I have tremendous energy and also notice my breathing is free. I can feel the air in my left nostril, and it is free all the way to my abdomen, which is pretty remarkable because I rarely get that feeling. Being a singer, I love feeling this unrestricted voice. The only thing new I've actually added to my routine is One World Way. Wow.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's one world, W-H-E-Y.com.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear. Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome back, and talking about corruption, thievery, lack of integrity, and for once, we're not talking about our government. We're talking about our sports leagues. NBA, NFL, NHL, it seems like they all cheat. Our special guest is Brian Toohey. And Brian, let's take a moment here and tell people how they can follow your work. You've got a lot of stuff out there, and you've got a terrific book I read years ago, The Fix is In. Let's tell the listening audience about that.
Well, The Fix is In is basically about what we're talking about, how the sports leagues manipulate their games for television purposes. I mean, the subtitle is The Showbiz Manipulations of Basically All the Major Sports Leagues. And then I wrote a second book, which came out in 2013 now, called Larceny Games, Sports Gambling Game Fixing in the FBI. And that's based on over 400 FBI files I obtained through the Freedom of Information Act that related directly to sports bribery, which is game fixing. And that covered college sports, boxing, the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball, as well as horse racing, which I didn't get into in the book. And then I also run a website called thefixisin.net, which kind of, you know, is kind of almost my blog, and it keeps up to date with certain things that go on in all these sports leagues as well.
Terrific stuff. I mean, it's very upsetting for me because I used to look at sports as the bastion of integrity, and that is not the case. It's almost like professional wrestling.
I was going to say, though, I mean, that was the same way. I mean, I was exactly the same way. I mean, I was a sports nut for the longest time. And what it was as I got older and started looking at, like I said earlier, a lot of the stories that surround these games or that surround these sporting events, and I started saying, you know, that just doesn't make sense, and that doesn't make sense, and I don't think they're telling me the truth about these guys taking steroids and these other drugs and what have you. That's when I started questioning everything, and the determination I came to is what really matters more than anything are the games. And if they're going to lie to me about everything else, like I said earlier, well, what's stopping them from lying to me about the games? And that's what kicked me off on this whole adventure.
Yeah, I totally agree. How pervasive is it at one time? In other words, how broad is the conspiracy? It's more than the grassy knoll. I mean, you're talking about the networks and their TV crews. You're talking about the league office. You're talking about officials and players and gamblers. How coordinated is the cheating that you found?
Well, you know, I don't think it has to be as in-depth as people believe it should be. You know what I mean? I mean, most of the people who are covering, like, for the television networks, for example, they don't have to have a clue what's going on. I mean, does the cameraman need to go know who's going to win and who's going to lose, or does he just have to, you know, photograph what's going on the field? I mean, I think it's really, it's one of those things that's like on a need-to-know basis, and not that many people really need to know. I mean, you can influence, really, I believe, any sport with one official, you know, with one referee. You can control the outcome. I mean, you just look at recently in the NFL, we had two playoff games, both involving the Dallas Cowboys, where there was two crazy calls. One, a pass interference call that benefited the Dallas Cowboys that you know, caused them basically to turn around and win the game, and then a call that went against the Cowboys and the ball that most people believe was caught by Dez Bryant and was ruled not a catch, and that destroyed the Dallas Cowboys. So, I mean, it's amazing. Two calls really altered the outcome of two games, and most people just write it off as bad luck or, you know, coincidence or what have you. And I don't buy that. I don't believe an industry such as the NFL is really going to allow these things to just happen by pure happenstance. I believe they're going to have some control over it because it means something to them to have control over these games, and it means a lot of money to them.
Well, one of the things that really disturbed me with regard to Deflategate, and for the listening audience, that was a game that was played in New England in sub-freezing temperatures. And if your ball is deflated, you can have better control over passing it and catching it. And the New England Patriots had, 11 out of 12 balls, I believe it was, were deflated. Yep. Now, Brian, I have to tell you, okay, if any other sports endeavor I've ever worked in, with the evidence that's come out right now with 11 and 12 balls, someone's getting suspended. It would have been the coach, the quarterback, you know, back in my day, but they don't want to mess with the Super Bowl. What does that tell you about the Super Bowl?
Well, it tells you how important it is. I mean, and that's the frightening thing about the Super Bowl is not only has it become like a national holiday, but it's literally the most watched television event in the history of television. Every year, it's literally the most watched thing ever. I mean, more than the moon landing, more than any presidential address, more than anything, it's the Super Bowl and all the Super Bowls. I mean, the fact, I think it's 24 of the top 25 watched television shows this year have been football games. I mean, that's crazy, but that's how much these things mean. And like you say, yeah, I mean, if they really cared about their integrity, if they really cared about sportsmanship and true competition and that sort of thing, the NFL should act on what happened because, like you said, that's not a coincidence that 11 of the 12 balls were deflated. That wasn't an accident. That wasn't an act of God. That wasn't, you know, improperly made footballs. Somebody did something purposefully. And here the NFL is supposedly investigating it and doing their due diligence, but you know what? What's come out of it? What's happened? I mean, how long does it really take to investigate a couple of footballs? Here we are a week later, and nobody knows apparently what happened. And that's the thing. Despite the fact that these leagues do have these security divisions, they actually don't have police powers. They can't wiretap. They can't subpoena people. So, you know, they can go to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and say, what happened? And they can say, I don't know. And what are you going to do?
Well, what they're doing, and it's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things that I always wondered about, and I thought about your book often, with regard to the Super Bowl following Hurricane Katrina and the fact that New Orleans won it, you know, Drew Brees is the hero. And New Orleans was always the doormat of sports. And here they found a way to win the Super Bowl in such dramatic fashion. There was so much drama because of the hurricane following that. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Well, that's one of the games, not just games, but incidents in NFL history that I think should make fans really question how lucky can this league be. If it truly is just luck and happenstance, it's amazing how that worked out for the NFL and the New Orleans Saints. Because the NFL built up the fact and promoted the fact and broadcast their supposed fact that really the Saints almost like single-handedly rebuilt the city of New Orleans and that everybody in New Orleans rallied around this football team and look at how it brought this, you know, community back from, you know, the brink of utter destruction and chaos. You know, let's all praise the New Orleans Saints for what they did. And sure enough, I forget what it was now, 3 years after the hurricane destroyed the city, the Saints won the Super Bowl. And yeah. It's just, that's what they sold. That's what people believed and bought. And I just don't find how a team that was terrible for 40 years, I mean, terrible for 40 years, I mean, their fans were known for wearing bags over their heads because they were such a bad football team, suddenly was able to put it together and win the Super Bowl like nothing ever happened. I just don't buy it.
Well, let's shift gears for a second. Let's go to our national pastime, Major League Baseball. What could you point to there that you'd say, this was really odd, shouldn't probably have happened?
Well, baseball is the one sport, oddly enough, that you can prove a true conspiracy happened from the owners against the players. I mean, you could prove it, because what happened in the 1980s, the owners literally got together in a room with the commissioner and decided they were not going to pay for anybody's free agents. They wanted to drive down the price of the player's salaries, and they were going to do it by not signing any free agents. So when whatever it was in the mid-80s, something like 25, 30 guys became free agents at that time, nobody was interested in any of them, which was odd because there was a couple of Hall of Fame players involved in this. I mean, Kirk Gibson and Gary Carter and a few, or Carlton Fisk and a few others, and nobody wanted them. And this went on for 2-3 years, and the players aren't that dumb. They're, you know, union isn't that dumb. They realized something was afoot, and sure enough, it came out that the owners intentionally did this. So, I mean, it kind of shows in baseball, the owners didn't care about winning and losing because, you know, if they all made that agreement, one owner could have gone against all the others and bought every free agent and had, like, an all-star team if he wanted to. But, no, he was more interested in money than he was fielding a winning baseball team, and they did this, and it cost them $280 million when they lost the lawsuit, but it didn't matter because really in the long run they had saved money. So, I mean, here we have in baseball a sheer, clear, you know, evidence that they don't care about wins and losses. They care about money more than anything else.
Well, we had the Black Sox scandal way back when, earlier part of the 20th century. Was it 1919, 1920,
exactly.
Somewhere around there?
1919, yeah.
And, pretty good for a memory there. And we have had hints of things in baseball through the years. What would you point to as an incident where you'd said, this series was rigged, this game was fixed? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's hard. Baseball's more difficult, I think, out of all the sports to manipulate because, you know, an umpire can't stop a ball from going over the fence. You know, he can manipulate balls and strikes and put more pressure on a hitter or more pressure on a pitcher by calling, you know, borderline pitches one way or the other, but he can't stop a home run from being a home run.
Right.
And the same with players. You know, you can have a pitcher in on a fix, and if he blows it, even if he gives up, you know, 9 runs, it doesn't mean the offense is going to come back and score 10 runs and win the game 10-9. So, I mean, if you were going to really fix the game, you'd have to have a few people in on this sort of thing. But what I found interesting when I was researching the fixes in is there was a guy by the name of Hembolt, I think was his last name, and he wrote a paper for the Rand Corporation, of all things, asking the question, is the World Series fixed? And his whole idea was it's more beneficial for the league, for Major League Baseball, as well as the NBA and the NHL, if the World Series went to 7 games more often than having it to be a 4-game sweep, because like we're talking about, that would mean, you know, more ticket sales, more advertising, more television, more of everything, more money in the owner's pockets. And he did, again, another statistical study, and this was back in 1969 or 70 when he did this, but he showed in his statistics that, yeah, the World Series was going to the full 7 games more than it should statistically happen. And, again, I'm not a statistician, but I did another thing where between 1949, which was the first televised World Series, and 1989, which is when the playoffs started to expand, in those 40 years, 20 years, the World Series went to 7 games. So half the time the World Series went to 7 games, more than, you know, 4-game sweep, a 5-game series, a 6-game series, it kept going to 7 games. And, again, is that just coincidence and good luck for the league? Or was that some sort of manipulation to make that occur?
I see a lot of that in the NBA, too, and I don't have any raw data in front of me, but it's unusual not to see a series go the full length.
Well, and especially when there's popular players or teams involved, because that's what's making, you know, people come to their television and watch and talk about it, get something ESPN to talk about. Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things that Tim Donaghy suggested as well, was that the league's, they're not dumb. You know, they know that a 4-game sweep doesn't create a lot of interest. It doesn't stir up any controversy. It's just, it's a 4-game sweep, whoop-de-doo. Well, if you get it to go to 6 games or possibly 7 games, well, that stirs up a lot of talk. It stirs up a lot of interest, and it, you know, generates more and more of everything. So, you know, is the league maybe willing to tell the referees, hey, maybe this game called a little tighter, hey, maybe this game give this guy a little more room to operate? and just subtly influence things so you get an extra game or two out of a playoff series. I mean, again, when there's no law that prevents them from doing this, why wouldn't they take advantage of it? I mean, if we were talking about any other corporation that could manipulate their product to make more people buy it and do so legally, any corporation, I think, would do it because they have that, you know, need to provide their shareholders money and they want to make more money. So why do we assume that the sports leagues will just say, no, 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 we wouldn't do that because that would be wrong? I think it makes no sense.
Well, Brian, I look at this, but I look at it like from a view of the stock market. If you had this on Wall Street, I look at it as insider trading. It's a rigged mm-hmm. game, and it takes the fun out of watching it. I mean, this is why I don't watch the NBA. I'm knowledgeable enough about basketball to recognize fixes when I see it. In fact, let's talk about the lottery. And the lottery, just for the listening audience that may not know, is the preliminary part of the draft where the worst teams in the league choose a number based on odds of where they placed in the league. So if you finish last, your odds are more in favor of you than someone who finished, you know, ninth to last. And so they all come in, and they go through this rigmarole of saying that they have a certified accountant, and it's been people that have overseen this with extensive law enforcement experience, and they go over and over. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, 2 years in a row, won it. And one time, they had the owner, I think it was his son, a special needs child, and it was a tear-jerking story. And lo and behold, they won again.
Yeah, and there was another team that had the widow of the owner who had just died. She was president, and they won, you know, the number one pick overall. The Chicago Bulls, when they started having problems, they had like 1.9% chance of winning the lottery, and sure enough, they won the number one pick. I mean, it's amazing how these things, again, just happenstance seem to work out in the league's benefit. I mean, it goes all the way back with the NBA draft lottery. So the very first one they held in 1985 when people are pretty certain that the league manipulated it in order for the New York Knicks to be able to draft Patrick Ewing, who was a can't-miss prospect, and in fact was. I mean, he wound up in the Hall of Fame. And they influenced that to make sure that, you know, this number one can't-miss guy wound up in the biggest sports media market in the country. And why wouldn't you do that? It's like you say, I mean, it does reek of insider trading. It does reek of some negative things. But, you know, again, if it's not illegal, why not?
I played with a kid in college from New York City, and he told me that he knew of games in the public school leagues and basketball in New York City that were fixed by the bookies. Have you seen it go that low, to that low of a level?
You know, actually, there was a couple of FBI files that I obtained that did mention actually even going down to high school sports, yeah. And in fact, I think Jack Molinas, who is the only guy to really been ever kicked out of the NBA for gambling, and that was back in 1954. He actually, I think, was influencing college basketball games in Indiana, in the state of Indiana. So, I mean, I should say high school games. I mean, it actually has reached that level, amazingly enough. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, you can make that much money betting on high school basketball, but I could be wrong. But if you make enough to make it worthwhile.
Okay, so let's say that we've got the casual fan out there, and he likes to drop a few bucks on the Super Bowl, or even before a season starts, put $100 down on a team that has odds of 60-1 or 600-1 of winning a championship. I mean, what would you say to those guys about the wisdom of putting their money on a sports bet?
Well, you know, part of it is even if it's completely rigged, and I don't think every game is fixed by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't think
it is pro wrestling. But at the same time, you know, even if the game is fixed, you don't know who's going to win, being an outsider. You know, you can have your assumptions that maybe it's fixed for Team A to beat Team B because that would benefit the league, but that doesn't mean it is definitely going to happen, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen within the realm of the point spread either. So, I mean, I think betting on it is still really a gamble, truly a gamble. But what I think I find interesting is the fact that people who bet with bookies, and 99% of the people who are wagering on sports are betting with bookies, I don't think they understand that they're really in many ways dealing with organized crime. Because sports bookmaking is one of the biggest moneymakers for the mafia in the United States to this day. And they're very happy that sports gambling remains illegal in this country because they're making a ton of money doing it. I mean, nobody knows how many billions of dollars it is. Estimates go from like $80 billion up to $500 billion a year. I don't think it's that crazy high, but even if it's $80 billion, you know, that's more than three times what all the major leagues make combined in the season. So it's a ton of money. And all of that, even when you make a $50 bet with your local guy, a lot of times that gets funneled through the bookmaking system, what they call the layoff system in the country, and it winds up in organized crime's coffers. And I don't think people really understand that they're necessarily funding the mob when they make a $50 bet with a bookie.
Man, it's so disturbing to hear this.
It's
just because of my background. I have a hard time getting my mind around this. Just because you want to go and see great athletes do things that I can't do anymore, bring back memories, and actually root for someone, and you think it's pure competition, when really it could be nothing but pure BS.
True. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, like I say, because sports is really entertainment, I mean, I equate a lot of times to, you know, Hollywood and, you know, other show business entities. I mean, how many times do you want to see a concert and you want to see someone perform at their best, and then you learn later that the singer was lip-syncing the whole thing?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, it happens. It happens a lot. But that's kind of the same thing, you know. I mean, reality TV, where they, you know, edit it a certain way and, you know, stage a few things here or there, and you think something really happened when it didn't. I mean, it's all in the same category. It's all in the same boat. And I just want people, fans, to be more cognizant of this, to understand that this is a very real possibility. And if you start looking at these, you know, games instead of being just games, but looking at it as a business, looking at it as a product, then you, like you've noticed, you can start seeing through a few things and recognize that, hey, maybe this isn't exactly what I thought it was, and then you won't put so much, you know, emphasis on it in your life.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. It really is. You know, what are some telltale signs you can look for when an event is being manipulated? Is it the moving of the betting line before the game, or what kinds of things do you look at?
Well, like I say, I don't follow the betting so much, because the betting line moves all the time and it can get crazy. It's more, I think, for the sort of manipulation I'm talking about in terms of television, it's how the leagues are building these storylines, how suddenly some player will become the hot commodity or some team will be the hot commodity, and they start, you know, boasting about that team more, and you see more and more about that team or that player, and that team starts winning more and more, and everything starts going in that direction. And then if you look sometimes at not just the refereeing, and like I say, we've seen officiating where, you know, you could see clearly at home some guy is inbounds. Without a doubt, he's inbounds. He caught the ball, he's inbounds. And then the referee will go, you know, communicate with the home office, which they do now on instant replay. They communicate back to New York City in the head office of the NFL, and then he comes back on and says, nope, that guy was out of bounds, clearly out of bounds. You know, the play's overturned. I mean, we've seen that. You've seen it time and time again, and nobody gets up in arms at it. They just go, oh, well, yeah, bad call, I guess it goes on. Well, that's manipulation. That's the stuff that they could do literally right in front of you, and what are you going to do about it? I mean, so those are the things I look for.
The Dallas Cowboys game where Dez Bryant made that great catch that set Dallas up for presumably the winning score in their last playoff game.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and then they come back with this nonsense, and I'm thinking, okay, who am I supposed to believe? Someone in New York City or my lying eyes? That was a catch. I don't know how many angles you show it. That was a catch. Irrefutably, it was a catch. And we got some explanation that came out of China to try to explain this and why it wasn't a catch. And the same exact play in the Bronco playoff game, it didn't go that way. I just look at this, and I turn to my brother-in-law, and I said, this is why I'm having Brian Tuohy on my show a week before the Super Bowl, because a lot of this crap is just fixed. Dallas went as far as they were supposed to go.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, like I said, that's the sort of thing that you can point to, and, you know, that's the genius of the NFL, is they created this idea of parity where any team could beat any other team on any given week. And then they also have created this, you know, micromanaged rule system where you could see something like that Dez Bryant play. And if they wanted to rule it a catch, they had every right in the world to rule that a catch. And at the same time, they had enough play within their rules to rule it not a catch if they wanted to rule it not a catch. So I think they very well, when the referee got into his headset reviewing that play and talking to the home office in New York, I'm sure the conversation was more about, well, are we giving Dallas this game or are we not giving Dallas this game? Because that's what this play is going to do. It wasn't a rule conversation. It was about which way does the league want this to go.
Exactly.
And that's how they ruled on it.
That's what bothers me about those instant replays going back to headquarters rather than putting the burden on one of the officials in that stadium who may not be in on the fix.
Yeah. Well, and the thing I pointed out on another show is, how come we can't hear that as the home audience? Why can't we listen to the two officials talking about it? Why is it
That's
a secret?
Excellent point. That is an excellent point. Well, I've got another excellent point here, because if we don't step aside here and let you talk about your website again and your latest book, we're going to run out of time. So let's go ahead and do that.
Well, the best way, if people want to find out more about me and contact me if they have information they want to share or questions they want to ask, is to go to my website, which is thefixisin.net. And there you can find my books, Larceny Games, and my book, The Fix Is In. And you can learn, you know, all about this information, because no one else will publish it. I guess I'm the only one who's willing to go there, and that's what I do. That's been my calling, I guess, is to be the guy who points this out about how corrupt sports are. So that's what I do.
I could actually see a football widow on Sundays taking that first book, The Fix Is In, and throwing it on her husband's lap and saying, honey, why are you wasting your time? The results are already decided.
It should make people raise their eyebrow, and that's all I want to do. I don't want you to stop watching necessarily. I just want you to watch with an informed opinion about what could really be going on. And that's the key thing. If you understand it's entertainment and you look at it as a three-hour-long movie, fine. But when it consumes your life, and it may be consuming your life in a way that's detrimental, and it's all based on a manipulated thing, then you really have to start wondering what you're doing, I think.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely no question. Hey, we got to step aside, Brian. We're out of time, but thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with the book, and keep catching the bad guys.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate you having me on.
Okay, Brian. Brian Tuohy, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned, and we'll be back in hour number two with John Onesti.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.